This is Sports Talk with Phil Kornblut, Chris Bergen, and Pat Daniel. Sports Talk is heard across the state on radio affiliates of the Sports Talk Media Network and is streaming live on sportstalksc.com, as well as Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. The South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number to call in is 888-898-2525. That's 888-898-2525. Now, here are Phil, Chris, and Pat with tonight's edition of Sports Talk.
And hello once again, my friends, and welcome into a Tuesday edition of Sports Talk on the Sports Talk Media Network on a fine Tuesday all across the state of South Carolina. As we continue getting you ready for race weekend at Darlington, and with the temperatures in the, low to mid-90s around the state today, feels more like Labor Day weekend, not Mother's Day weekend at the track Too Tough to Tame. But nonetheless, we are inching ever closer to the running of the Goodyear 400, and they'll honor the 75 greatest drivers of all time in NASCAR coming up this weekend. 888-898-2525. That's the South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number if you'd like to dial us up on this Tuesday. Again, 888-898-2525. We are watching baseball here this afternoon. Gamecocks off to another tough start, though. They did grab the early lead against North Florida. And right now, the bottom of the fifth inning over at Founders Park, they trail the Ospreys by a score of 7-4. North Florida, a big third inning, scoring 5 runs in the third. Gamecocks countered with 3 in the bottom of the fourth. Evan Stone with a 2-run home run, part of the damage in the fourth. But then North Florida came right back with a pair in the top of the fifth. And now the Gamecocks threatening. They actually have the potential tying runs aboard. Bases loaded and one out in the bottom of the fifth inning with Dylan Brewer coming to the plate now, as Evan Stone has just flied out, a sacrifice fly, so he drives in another run to update the score. It is now 7-5, North Florida over South Carolina midway through the ballgame. We'll certainly keep you posted over there as to what's going on with the Gamecocks and the Ospreys throughout the evening. Chris Bergen here in our palatial Florence area studios. That means Pat Daniel is back home in Columbia at our flagship station, The Point, and with Phil Kornblut still on vacation, we welcome back to the program down in Georgetown. We say hello to Matt Smith and Smitty. I thought Phil was actually on vacation. Funny story about Phil. For those of you who don't know, Phil has, a real affinity for Sports Talk. It is his baby. It's like, you know, grooming a child. And the first time you leave your child alone with people you don't know and don't trust, you have to check in constantly, and obviously Pat, Smitty, and myself fall into that category, because Smitty, last night about 11 o'clock, I got a text from Phil saying, well, how'd the show go? So I, of course, ignored him last night. So this morning, because I didn't respond until this morning, and I actually did follow up and say, hey, it went fine. We had a good show last night. Gamecock Larry got upset with us for picking on the Gamecocks maybe too much in his opinion, but otherwise went well, you know, without a hitch. And so he calls me. And again, as we mentioned yesterday, Phil's on vacation outside the country, but he decided 25 cents a minute was worthwhile to find out and check in on us and make sure we have not blown up Sports Talk to this point. So I feel like we have been entrusted with his firstborn, and I'm hoping we're not ruining this child moving forward as he grows into and matures into adulthood.
Yes, I liked when Phil reaches out to me and asks how the show went. I like to take a minute, pause, send him some ellipses, and then follow up with, oh, shoot, the show. We'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah,
just
let me
to
see.
Just to have a little fun with corn. And yeah, you know what? We may lose corn permanently, though. He sent some pictures of his vacation today, and I can just say I hope he's wearing a lot of sunscreen.
There's
corn,
no doubt.
Corn burns. Okay, corn burns. He's always got to wear a hat and sunglasses, so I hope he's doing okay. But yes, he checked in on us. I told him we had a lot of fun yesterday. We played some of the unedited Bob Huggins audio and had a great show.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It was at 10:53 last night when he sent the text across to find out how the show went. Saw you had Jim on. Super. Did y'all try for Kingston or Backage? By the way, we've reached out to both, hoping to get them on. And obviously, Mark Kingston busy this afternoon, and Eric Backage and the Tigers gearing up and actually on the practice field getting ready for what is a huge ball game tomorrow night, Smitty. And you and I will be over in Conway to broadcast live at CCU as Coastal takes on Clemson in what is shaping up as one of the better matchups of the season. And you wouldn't have thought that a couple of, several weeks ago when these two teams met back in, early April, because that was about the time the Tigers started to put it together, because they beat and actually run-ruled the Chanticleers 16-6 in seven innings. Now, last year, the tables were turned as Coastal embarrassed Clemson both times, including a contest we witnessed 17-2 at Conway. So be interested to see how the dynamics of this series play out tomorrow night and what could be a battle to try and figure out a way to host a regional. I'm looking at both. Coastal certainly is in prime position to host. Heck, they're in pretty good shape right now, I think, to potentially get a top eight national seed. Clemson has played its way into a hosting position. Does the loser of that game tomorrow night, does that damage or dent their resume to the point that they may not be able to recover, depending on what's left in their conference and non-conference schedules before the conference tournaments?
No, I don't think so. I think the way the RPI is set up, and you referenced this last night, the losses don't hurt you nearly as much as the wins do, as long as you're playing good competition, right? South Carolina got swept, didn't really ding their RPI too much. I think what you'll see tomorrow night, Clemson and Coastal Carolina, that's a potential super regional matchup. The way Clemson is playing, I wouldn't put it past them if it – now, they need to miss some of the better teams. One of the issues you run into if you're, say, Clemson – and if you can't get a host, you know, you can't get a site, and there's still a chance they could certainly do that. But if you're going to be one of the teams that has to play as a two seed, then playing in the Southeast, that's where it's hard. Yeah. So you're going to end up probably at an SEC club's stadium playing one of the better teams out of the SEC, maybe even South Carolina. And I know Clemson fans wouldn't hate that, though, a chance to knock off the Gamecocks. So I think the way I look at tomorrow, I don't look at it as hurting the loser as much as I do rewarding the victor. I think it's going to be, if Clemson does it, and then they can say, hey, we swept Coastal Carolina, a top 10 team. And if Coastal comes back and evens it up, they can say, hey, that was one of the hottest teams in the ACC, if not the country, and we took them down at our house. So I think either way, it's more of a feather in the cap of the winner than really dinging the loser.
I think we are all in agreement that the Gamecocks will host a regional, regardless of what happens rest of the season. They have done enough, I think, to this point to be a host site, right? Considering RPI, national ranking, how well they have played up until here the last couple of weeks. Coastal and Clemson both, certainly Coastal in particular. I think Coastal's resume speaks volumes and says we deserve a host site as well. Heck, we may deserve a national seed, because this is a team that has won now 14 straight conference series, obviously dating back to last year. So they've done everything they've been asked to do, including scheduling tough. I mean, they've faced Wake Forest a couple of times. They get Clemson twice. So their non-conference schedule has been very, very good, as it normally is. So, and then that brings up the interesting question about Clemson and their late surge. If the Tigers actually play their way into what the committee would look at a regional host site, would the Tigers of that trio, would they get left out because the NCAA does not want to send three host sites to the same state, especially a state our size in South Carolina?
Wow, that's a fascinating point. I hadn't thought of that, because when I look at things, and Pat, you can jump in here, I wonder how the committee's going to look at it. The committee always says, and I'm really referencing the basketball committee more than the baseball, which I think we hear more about publicly, they always say they don't care about things like you just mentioned. They do not care about conference affiliation. It doesn't matter. You know, they might send 9 teams from the SEC, 10, could be 11. It doesn't matter. We look at resumes and resumes only. But like everything else in life, there has to be some bias. And to your point, I wonder if Clemson gets really hot at the end, South Carolina continues to slip, but as you said, they've done enough. Then is there anybody on that committee that raises their hand sheepishly and says, maybe we ought to look at Coastal and Clemson again really hard and just give one of them a regional, since you don't want to have three of them that clustered like that together? That's really fascinating. But I would guess If we look back in history, would that not have happened in, say, Florida previously, or potentially Texas?
Oh, sure.
Dallas Baptist is certainly getting a regional. But you're right. But to your point, I say Texas and Florida. Look how much larger they are in terms of population. I wonder if it's ever happened with Mississippi, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Southern Miss. But it's a really good point you bring up. I'm always wondering. I know I've read the stories, and they've pulled the curtain back on the committee before. But there's an element of, I don't believe you guys. I mean, come on. You've got to count up the ACC or Big East teams in how many you're sending to the NCAA before you send that thing to print, right, before we go to press. But they say they don't. They say they look at blind black and white resumes and don't look at any affiliation. But your point's an interesting one. If our state got three regionals, I'd want to throw a parade. I think that would be awesome.
And my concern, though, is, and that's why I bring this question up, because you know the committee has gotten grief from the Northeast, the Upper Midwest, and certainly the West Coast of favoriting the Southeast. But let's be honest, in terms of college basketball, baseball, the best teams are in the Southeast and the Southwest. That's just where it's played. You don't ever hear us complaining about there are way too many hockey regionals in the Upper Midwest and Northeast, do you? I've never heard anybody from the South complain about that, but that has come a problem, a point of contention that the NCAA has to deal with, because they've got schools spread out across the country. And college baseball has certainly gotten much, much better across the country. But there's no question where it is played the best is right here in our backyard. And I'd hate to see our state get penalized because we just so happen to have three really good baseball teams playing at the end of the season.
But don't you think, in my mind, when I look at the way college baseball is set up and the national coverage that comes to us regionally, I feel like Coastal Carolina has crossed that barrier in that it is not – they get the respect. In other words, when they win a series, like you mentioned, they've won 14 consecutive series in the Sun Belt. When they win a series, which is a very good baseball conference, when they take care of business – they get that. They get their flowers, right? They get that top 10 national ranking, mostly because on the heels of the fact that Gary Gilmore's done what he's done and they've won a national championship as a program. But I feel the same way about Clemson and South Carolina. I think locally we quibble, and we even had callers last night saying we're not giving one team enough respect or the other. But I think nationally, when Clemson does what it needs to do and takes care of business the way they have winning their last five ACC series, what happened? They vaulted. They rocketed into the top 25, 18th or 16th, just blowing past other teams. South Carolina dominated the SEC schedule early. What happened? Top three national ranking when they did that. So I feel like if the committee is a reflection of where the baseball writers and commentators are, I feel like South Carolina, Clemson, and Coastal Carolina absolutely get the respect that they've earned. Programs have earned. And I really hope what you're talking about is finances don't come into play. Because here's one thing. You cover Coastal Carolina closely. We know this. If Coastal Carolina hosts a regional, forget about it. They'll pack the place. It wouldn't be a problem. I just hope they don't get penalized for being a smaller campus.
Well, guys, I'll jump in real quick if I may. D1 Baseball has not yet released their weekly NCAA baseball tournament projections. But I am looking at a website here that is not quite as reputable as D1, but they are still very well thought of. It's collegesportsmadness.com. They released one this afternoon, and I'm seeing every other major publication essentially retweeting and sharing this just to give a little more emphasis to its credibility. And they have all three of our in-state schools hosting. They have Clemson hosting, tough foursome there. Clemson hosting Campbell, Auburn, and Samford, and Clemson being the number 16 overall seed. Coastal Carolina hosting a regional as the 11 seed with NC State, Texas A&M, and Central Connecticut State, which, excuse my ignorance, I had no idea they even had a baseball team, much less athletic program, Central Connecticut State. And then South Carolina as the 7 seed hosting North Carolina, the rival USC, a.k.a. Southern Cal, and Penn. Now, that's an interesting little bracket there.
Wow, and I'd be fascinated to see if that that actually plays to fruition, because, you know, the Gamecocks have already swept Penn. That was one of their early season series long back in February, and people talked about how good Penn was at that time. I'd be fascinated if the NCAA selection committee would send them back to Columbia for the postseason as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Clemson, you don't want Campbell. You do not want Campbell in your regional. They're going to travel, and they are absolutely loaded. It's a tremendous baseball program, and they've been giant killers this season. So you don't want to see the Camels come to your regional. If you're Clemson, keep winning. Try to force them somewhere else.
And don't forget, the Gamecocks also beat the Tar Heels up in Charlotte just last month as well.
So, Pat, you're not plugged into the Blue Devils of Central Connecticut State?
They're the Blue Devils, huh? Okay,
the Blue Devils,
good
yes.
for them. No, hey, they might be a little wild card pick there. Love to see the odds Vegas has if we're assuming we're still allowed to bet on baseball. That is at that point.
That'd be a good question. All right, 888-898-2525 on the South Carolina Education Lottery. Plenty of time for your phone calls tonight. We've got a busy show, mostly leaning towards baseball, obviously, and we'll also talk plenty about the upcoming race weekend at Darlington. Kerry Tharp set to join us right after 7:30. President of Darlington Raceway will get his final projections as to what's going on at the track currently and what's ahead for us this coming weekend over here in the PD in Darlington. So we'll catch up with KT at 7:30 tonight. Also, just after 6:30, we're going to try and squeeze in the conversation we had last week with Kyle Larson. Did not get a chance to play it for you last night. We'll bring it to you tonight because also at 6:30, Smitty has procured us a couple of pairs of tickets to give away for the upcoming Goodyear 400. And so we are going to play some Darlington Raceway trivia, and Smitty has dug deep into the archives and dusted off some extremely tough trivia questions. But if you want to win a pair of tickets before, you know that old saying, win them before you can buy them. Well, you can certainly buy them at DarlingtonRaceway.com, but they are going fast. So if you have not had a chance to get your tickets and would like to win a pair, stick around because we're going to give you an opportunity coming up just after 6:30 with some Darlington Raceway trivia. And Smitty, we actually have a pair to give away tomorrow and Thursday. Is that correct?
No, this might be the only night we're in. Go back, and I had more, but I lost them in a pool to some Iowa baseball players. They got me in an NBA playoff pool. But we do have two tonight for certain. That's all I can say.
All right, fair enough. So we'll take it one day at a time. So we'll give you a chance to win some tickets. Coming up just after 6:30 for the Goodyear 400. Also recruiting tonight. And we'll delve into a little college football. Interesting story as well out today about the NCAA now and their visit to Capitol Hill to talk about the NIL legislation that the NCAA would love to see the federal government get involved. We'll delve into that. Scores and plenty more, plus your phone calls here this evening. So we'll take a break, come back, and reset the table, get you caught up on the Gamecocks and North Florida as well. And get to your phone calls at 888-898-2525. That's the SC Education Lottery lucky number. Did you know since 2002, more than $4.2 billion in lottery proceeds have been used to fund scholarships and grants for South Carolina students? You can learn more about the South Carolina Education Lottery's impact at sceducationlottery.com/educationwins. Playing for fun is a win for education.
Imagine a scrapbook filled with all your favorite memories of 75 years of NASCAR gone by. Now imagine that scrapbook going 190 miles per hour.
Have you ever? No, I've never!
You don't have to imagine it. You need to get to Darlington, where the drivers of today tackle the track too tough to tame, just like they did your first time. NASCAR Throwback Weekend at Darlington Raceway, May 12th through the 14th. Get your tickets today at darlingtonraceway.com.
Hi, I'm Jim Corbett. I've been an attorney for more than 30 years. There's one thing I've learned about injury cases. It's you need the personal touch. You need the lawyer to get to know you and describe your damages. You don't want a case manager talking to an insurance company and then talking to you and then talking to maybe to a lawyer with limited experience at the last minute to try to settle a case. I talk to you. I find out what your case is about. Jim at JimCorbettAttorney.com. Jim at JimCorbettAttorney.com for your injury cases.
Have you turned on the fun? Try Cash Pop from the South Carolina Education Lottery. Pick one number from 1 to 15, win up to $2,500, or play all 15 numbers, and you're guaranteed to win. Play twice a day to double your fun. It really is that easy. Visit sceducationlottery.com to get the details. Cash Pop, it's the light of the party.
Thank you.
All right, they move to the top of the seventh over at Founders Park in Columbia. USC trailing North Florida by a score of 7-5, 7-12-1 right now for the Ospreys out of Jacksonville, Florida. They've stranded 9 thus far. Gamecocks 5 runs on 8 hits. They've also committed an error and have left 9 on the base pass. Cade Alston now into the ballgame for South Carolina again in the seventh, trying to keep the Ospreys right where they are with nobody out and a runner at first. Starting the ball game was James Hicks, Smitty, and he went an inning, and that was about all the work they wanted to get for him. It was somewhat of a lengthy inning, threw over 20 pitches, but it has been a bullpen day. But despite the current score, there is a bright spot for the Gamecocks, and that's Talmadge Lecroy returned to the lineup this afternoon. They did not get back. We also speculated last night, is it possible that they may see also a couple of their injured guys return? But they only get Talmadge Lecroy back this afternoon. And Smitty, instead of putting him at third where he had played much of the season, he actually played at second base. And this is a guy who was an outstanding catcher coming through high school, Belton Honeypass, so clearly a very good athlete. But how much in your experience, and you're kind of speculating here with the hamstring injury that he suffered that had sidelined him for a couple of weeks, do you make you put him at second perhaps because he doesn't have to range quite as far? What would be the thinking there defensively, not putting him back at third and then have Cole Messina behind the plate?
Oh, no, I think Messina's at third. Am I wrong about
that? Correct.
And
no,
Fringe
that is correct.
Catching?
Yep. That is correct.
Yeah, that's why you know you've got to continue to play musical chairs because you want to get, if you look at the players available to you, you want to get Messina's bat in there, you want to get LaCroix's bat in there, and Jonathan French, the only position he can play is likely catcher. So that means he's got to be behind the plate, and then Messina at third, and Lecroy's a good enough athlete to move to second. But yeah, no, you have to range more to play second base than you would third. The old adage is you've got to have great feet to play third. Your best athlete goes at short, and your best infielder goes at second. Talmadge Lecroix is certainly not their best infielder, but they are making do with what they've got. But I think it's the right move because overall, look at that lineup. You're getting your best bats in there with the players, with the MASH unit you've got available. That team's really going to shape up offensively and defensively when Braylon Wimmer comes back. You know, that's kind of a keystone that when he returns and then whatever happens with Braswell, if you can keep him in the lineup and then you can swap Messina and French, they can swap time then at catcher because I know it's wearing those guys out.
Yeah, no
Messina's
doubt.
Having to play out of position and Jonathan French is having to catch almost every inning. So they're holding it together now the best they can.
And Lecroy could maybe move back to third, too, if McGillis gets back into the lineup as well. So they've got still several of their middle infielders not available today, but Lecroy is back in the lineup again, top of the seventh. It is 7-5. We will keep you posted. And quickly, before we go to the phones, want to congratulate our in-state champions of the South Athletic Conference for the first time since 1999. Newberry College winning the South Atlanta Conference tournament title. They did so yesterday, taking a pair of games from Lincoln Memorial 5-4, and then the championship game 8-4. So Newberry backing up the regular season title with also the tournament championship, and now they actually still have some regular season games left to go. They've got a matchup with Tampa, the University of Tampa, this weekend, but Newberry College having a fine year for sure. All right, before we hit the bottom of the hour, let's squeeze in a couple of phone calls, and we will kick it off tonight. We opened with the Gamecocks last night, so we'll open up with the Tigers on the phone lines tonight as we say hello to Tiger Bryan over in Lancaster. Tiger Bryan, how are you this evening?
Man, I'm doing great. Hey, Corn's done trained y'all right. I told Pat, y'all got them little cue cards, like little cheat sheets like the president's got. Yeah, he left y'all something laying there probably.
Well, I told you he wouldn't leave us alone. He's already talked to us three or four times today.
Well, I've been calling in 30-plus years. I finally run him out of the country.
Yeah. And judging by what he sent us today, TB, he may not come back. It may not be your fault. He may not come back.
He'll come back. Hell, he'll get tired of them young women or, you know, whatever down there. But, hey, I got to give a shout-out to my Buford Yellow Jackets, Buford High School softball team. They playing, you ever heard of Timberland?
Oh, yeah. A really good football program over there.
Timberland's got to play tomorrow night at Buford Stadium. So, all the Lancaster people, y'all come on out and support my daggum jackets. And, hey, we We love y'all, man. Y'all doing a great job. I'm going to let everybody, hey, and don't forget, when he comes back, tell him I still want my NIL. Yeah.
You got it, Tiger Brian. Appreciate the phone call. Plenty more to come, including your chance to win Darlington race tickets next. As Yogi used to say, it gets late early out here, and they go to the bottom of the seventh inning over at Founders Park. Gamecocks trailing North Florida by a score of 8-5. North Florida with 5 in the third, 2 in the fifth, and an insurance run in the top of the seventh. Gamecocks are running the first, 3 in the fourth, and one more in the fifth, and they come up to bat. Now in the bottom of the seventh inning, Talmadge LeCroy sent the lead it off, again trailing by a score of 8-5. Going to give you a chance to win some Darlington race tickets if you'd like to go to the Goodyear 400. We've got a trivia question we're going to pose to you in just a couple of moments. We're also going to hear from Kyle Larson here momentarily, driver of the number 5 Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports. I had a chance to catch up with him late last week, and we're also going to chat with Kerry Tharp, second hour of the program, just after 7:30. But let's stay on the phone lines first. And head out to Missouri and check in with our good friend Bruce. Bruce, you're up next here on Sports Talk. Good evening, sir.
Hey, Cal. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I was laughing my rear end off when you were talking about Phil calling up and asking how the show went. Tell him next time he calls you about that. Tell him you've already lapped the regular shows, and this is a racing a week. I'm going to go by laps. Y'all have already lapped the regular show already. You're way ahead of lap. Now, by the end of this week, you're going to be 5 laps. You are 5. You'll be 5 laps ahead of the shows. Okay, so just tell him it's a racing week, and Bruce in Missouri has already lapped. Y'all have already lapped. Ready, y'all already ahead, a lap ahead of the regular show.
Well, you are too kind, sir. So, you, in your opinion, we're going to Ned Jarrett the rest of the show.
The whole thing was y'all had everything in the world. You had a little drama last night with each other. You had a good time talking about what was going on, the first thing about local teams and stuff, and then you ended up with the finale there last night. So, and then you had Gamecock Larry coming on twice, so that's another lap.
Exactly.
So, you're 2 laps ahead of them then. Okay, that's my rating, and you can tell Phil I told y'all that. Okay.
Oh, don't you worry.
Job, and I enjoy the show. That's why I call in, and I listen to y'all while I'm out here. It's just back home, you know. So I thank y'all for having me. All
absolutely, Bruce. Thank you for the phone call and those kind words. You have a good evening.
Thank you.
So we lapped a normal Sports Talk show, and we're in Ned Jarrett territory. You remember he won the Darlington race. I think it was the Southern 500. I'd have to go back and check, Smitty. I think he won by 14 laps one time. I'm not sure we're out in that kind of rarefied air, but I appreciate Bruce saying that about the program.
I appreciate Bruce saying that. I don't appreciate you giving away the trivia question before we even ask it, but fine, we'll do a different one.
It's a good thing you gave several. You should never entrust me with any information you don't want somebody else to know. All right, we are going to hear from Kyle Larson here in just a couple of seconds. I think somewhat appropriate. You guys got a really good shot to win this weekend at Darlington. He's been really, really good on the track several times, just has not been able to win it. He came awfully close to winning at Kansas this past Sunday. Denny Hamlin had other ideas, ran up on his bumper, nudged him out of the way, and Denny Hamlin wins at Kansas. So he comes to Darlington this weekend with some momentum. But speaking of momentum, Smitty has procured a pair of tickets for the upcoming Goodyear 400 on Sunday. They are going to be e-tickets, so make sure that you have a way that we can get them to you. So you can put them on your phone or your mobile device and take over to the track to get in on Sunday. But if you'd like to go, 888-898-2525. And Smitty, just as I get ready to ask the question, my computer has frozen, so do you have it in front of you? If not, I'll try and do it from memory.
Yes, I can ask the question.
I think you should, since this is your question. I won't steal your thunder.
I love this. I love that technology. We're going to send them e-tickets. Well, we're not sending them from your computer. You can't even keep it up.
Gosh, I hope not. That would be a bad idea. They would never get them. I'm still trying to figure out how I can get to a football game with no tickets. I don't understand how all this stuff works. I want to be able to hold tickets in my hand.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. We don't need holograms, right? We just need paper tickets. But all right, for two tickets to this Sunday's Goodyear 400 at Darlington Raceway. Again, the number 888-898-2525. Big NASCAR fan, think you ought to get this. So be the first to call in and answer correctly on the air. Jeff Gordon won four consecutive Southern 500s. So that's the Labor Day race. Jeff Gordon won four consecutive Southern 500s between 1995 and 1998. But who's the only driver to win the spring race at Darlington three straight times? So one driver won the spring race held at Darlington three consecutive times. 888-898-2525. Two tickets to Darlington on the line. Call us up and give us the right answer.
And I looked it up just to verify. I was right. We would be in Ned Jarrett territory because back in 1965 at Darlington, Ned lapped the field 14 times to take the Southern 500. As competitive, and obviously with Kurt Busch and Ricky Craven here this weekend, and the closest finish in NASCAR history being honored as part of all the festivities with Throwback Weekend, Smitty. As close as that race was, and you couldn't blink in the time that those two crossed the line between one another, but could you imagine any race now where a driver finished the race 14 laps ahead of everybody else?
No way. And to me, I can't wait to talk to Kerry Tharp later tonight. This is one of those weeks that gets me excited. I'm glad we've got this event. And I don't want to say too much because I think we could stumble across, hints, but the history of Darlington is so rich. So many great moments in NASCAR. So if you're a NASCAR fan from any part of the country, you might be talking about great moments that have taken place in the sport. And chances are Darlington's got one of the first ones that you mentioned. I mean, I know it's even bigger to those that are NASCAR fans, but it is very much, it's a mecca. It's Madison Square Garden. It's Wrigley mm-hmm. Field. It's Fenway Park. And so I love that. I love that it's Augusta. I love that that's in our state, to me, to have that rich history. And it's something we can talk about. And I know it's something you probably drive by about once or twice a week, right?
Yeah, I'm going to head back over that direction maybe tomorrow or Thursday, as a matter of fact, before the race weekend. It's always a lot of fun around here in the PD. I was in Hartsville actually earlier today on their flagpoles around town on their main thoroughfares through Darlington, East Carolina Avenue, and some of the other streets that run through the main heart of town. They have, instead of American flags, they've got those, but instead of just City of Hartsville type flags, they have checkered flags flying this week. Since they are just adjacent to the track, not that far down the road either. All right, again, the trivia question for you. Pair of tickets to the Goodyear 400 this weekend. Jeff Gordon won four consecutive Southern 500s between 1995 and 1998. But who's the only driver to win the spring race at Darlington three straight times? 888-898-2525. If you've got the answer, you can tell it to Pat. Let him know. He'll keep you off the air, and we can go from there, and we'll give you a pair of tickets to this weekend's Goodyear 400. One of the drivers hoping to win it just for his first time, who had a very, very successful return to NASCAR back in 2021 after being suspended in 2020 for his use of a racial slur. Kyle Larson won the championship in 2021, has been somewhat up and down this season, though he'll be firmly in the playoffs when they start at Darlington over Labor Day weekend. I had a chance to visit with Kyle late last week, and here's a little bit of what the number 5 Chevy Camaro driver for Hendrick Motorsports had to say about his season to this point and racing at Darlington this weekend.
I think speed-wise, it's been amazing. It's been a great season, arguably every bit as good as 2021 so far. We won a bunch of races, but just haven't quite had the luck to go along with the car speed that we've had. So, just have gotten caught up in a lot of wrecks, not of my doing. A couple of the bad finishes have been my fault, but it seems like seems like we either win or we get crashed. So hopefully that turns around. But regardless, I'm really proud of the team and proud of the speed in our cars right now. And you know, hopefully the luck will turn around a little bit and we can get to at least finishing where we deserve, if not, you know, maybe winning a few of them.
How do drivers classify luck? Is it just being in the right place at the right time to avoid wrecks, or how would you classify luck? Because I'm guessing you're referencing the Dover finish this past week when you got caught up in an accident that obviously was not your fault, Ross Chastain and Brendan Poole getting together. So do you look at luck and bad luck as being in the wrong place at the wrong time? How do drivers view luck on the racetrack?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of that, but yeah, I would say in my case, yeah, I mean, Dover especially, you know, I was just minding my own business, and then, you know, the one crashed the lapper, and the lapper slid up into me, or not into me, but in front of where I was going, and couldn't avoid him. Daytona, you know, we were in contention there on the last lap, and a car got spun on my outside and collected me, and I got in the wreck there, was running second in Atlanta, and the 10 car blew right in front of me and had nowhere to go. So it's just been, you know, a few things that have really, you know, just, you know, taken us from finishing in the top five to, you know, in the 30s. So if we could just have those back, you would be up there leading the points and all that. But I'm sure everybody probably feels like, you know, they haven't finished quite where they deserve to this point, but just got to keep working hard. And like I said, our race cars are fast, so I know, yeah, I know it's going to turn around, and I'm not too worried yet. You know, I think if we were having bad luck and we were slow, I would be concerned, but you know, we're really fast, so that's the important thing.
With regards to accidents, and especially that scary crash you suffered at Talladega, did those type things maybe make you rethink your racing career?
No, not at all. I mean, maybe if I was good at something else, I'd think about it. But I mean, driving is the only thing I've ever done. It's, you know, the only thing I feel like I'm good at. So I don't have a second option. So I've got to pretty much commit to this. And you know, crashing, I've crashed a lot throughout my career, so it hasn't slowed me down to this point, and you know, I don't see it. At least it doesn't affect my mental state at all.
Take me back, if you don't mind, to your suspension back in 2020, and maybe how that shaped you as a driver, because you came back and signed a new contract with Hendrick Motorsports, and obviously went out and won the 2021 championship. How much have you changed, say, prior to the suspension to where you are now, as in terms of a driver?
Well, I think in terms of just everything as a whole, I think I'm just, you know, more mature. You haven't put myself through that situation and experience, but I think even behind the wheel, yeah, I'm a little bit, you know, more mature. I feel like, you know, I would say most races I tend to think a little bit better, but there's some where I still drive over my head. But I just think making smarter decisions both on and off the racetrack, and also not letting noise outside of racing kind of affect me like maybe it would have in the past. So I think you constantly grow as a person and as an athlete or driver, you know, every day, no matter what. So you know, overall, I try and look at that experience as something that was overall very positive for me.
What has the move to Hendrick Motorsports meant to you as well?
Yeah, obviously that's been, you know, amazing for my career, getting to race for Hendrick Motorsports and be surrounded by those so many great people, and get to race extremely fast race cars. You know, it's something I've worked really hard to get to that point in my career, and you know, getting to be in the best equipment on the weekends is a lot of fun for me, and you know, it has allowed me to kind of showcase my abilities some, and ultimately, you know, win a championship, you know, with the great team. So I've really enjoyed my time there, and hopefully whenever I'm done racing someday, it'll be, you know, I'll be with Hendrick Motorsports till the day I retire.
What are some of your takeaways, thoughts about racing at Darlington? And is this one of those bucket list racetracks you'd like to be able to cross off in terms of a victory?
Yeah, definitely. I would say Darlington's, you know, I mean, I want to win everywhere, but Darlington's probably the next track that I feel most capable of winning at that I haven't won at yet. And I've led a ton of laps there. I've been close to winning on a few occasions in both Xfinity and Cup. I just haven't quite, you know, closed the deal off. So every time I go there, my race car is really fast. So I imagine you will have great speed again going. And it's just a tough track. You know, it's tough to put a whole race together. And, you know, hopefully this time around we can do it.
That's a little bit of my conversation with Kyle Larson, driver of the number 5 Chevrolet Camaro for Hendrick Motorsports. Of course, he will be part of the field this coming Sunday, the Goodyear 400. He's also running the Xfinity Series race as well. Said really that's not a whole lot of practice time because, yeah, getting laps around the track is always important, but the cars are so different. You don't learn a whole lot from the Xfinity Series over to the Cup Series, but that'd be a guy, if you're looking for a favorite, somebody to pick this weekend, Kyle Larson might be your guy. And our thanks to Matt Humphrey with Darlington Raceway for lining that up for us. All right, we think we have a winner to our trivia question here tonight as we welcome on the phone lines Charles in Sumter. Charles, good evening. How you doing?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We're doing well. All right, we're going to let Smitty ask the question, and we'll see if you've got the correct answer for a pair of tickets to Sunday's Goodyear 400.
All right.
All right, Charles. We appreciate you calling in, Charles. And, yes, the question again is, Jeff Gordon won 4 consecutive Southern 500s, the Labor Day race in Darlington between 1995 and 1998. But who is the only driver to win 3 straight spring races at Darlington? Charles, the answer is?
That would have to be David Pearson.
The Silver Fox is correct. And Phil's
well
not
done.
Anywhere in the building.
He may come back the sunburned fox, though. There's going to be a difference when corn returns.
Charles, are you old enough to remember it happening? It was between 72 and 74.
Yes, sir. I was actually there when Richard Petty flipped coming out of what was then the 4th turn and ended upside down right in front of us under that old tin roof with his arm laying out on the asphalt. I was 10 years old. I thought he was dead. That scared me. I was a little child. I thought he was dead. Boy, I do remember it. I've been going a lot of years.
That is awesome. I think that's when they came up with the nets right over the windows.
Yeah, that's right. That did.
I was going to tell you, Charles, for future reference, I was born in Spartanburg. David Pearson was born in Spartanburg. So if I ask an NASCAR question, chances are it's going to be James Hilton, Cotton Owens, Bud Moore, or David Pearson.
I got you. Okay. He was one of my favorites. Now, Cale had to be my favorite back then, though.
Understandable. Charles, congratulations and enjoy the race. And Pat will get all your information and let you know how you can get your tickets.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you, Charles. So, David Pearson, you know, and not just your affinity for the Sparkle City and Spartanburg, Smitty. I think if you ask many NASCAR questions from the 60s and 70s, David Pearson might be the answer for any of them. Doesn't necessarily have to be around Darlington. I mean, he was so dominant and so good. Just a credit to our state to have drivers of that ilk. David Pearson, Cale Yarborough. I mean, South Carolina's got a long history within the sport of NASCAR.
Absolutely. And we'll ask Kerry Tharp about, you know, the history at Darlington. Obviously, we can talk about this weekend's race. And you just mentioned Kyle Larson, one of those drivers to watch out for. Certainly Denny Hamlin coming off the win in Kansas. Ross Chastain seems to be in everybody's rearview mirror right now. And, we'll ask him about, of course, the drivers of today, but maybe some of his favorite memories of Darlington Raceway, too, which, as we said, is just it's so ingrained in the fabric of NASCAR. Petty and Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt and Fireball Roberts and Joe Weatherly and everybody having success there. Mm-hmm. David Pearson, obviously, won. Cale Yarborough. So many stories from Darlington Raceway. And Kerry Tharp, you know, he's got a memory for them. So we'll certainly dig into a little bit of that in hour number 2.
He'll join us just after 7:30. My personal reference to NASCAR is Darlington and Daytona. I've been spoiled with my viewing of NASCAR races for sure. All right, quick timeout. More of your phone calls and update on the Gamecocks up next as well here on Sports Talk.
Parents ask, what's the best way to save for college? I'm State Treasurer Curtis Loftus, and my answer is always open a Future Scholar 529 College Savings Account. It's easy. You can get started online with any amount. It's flexible to adapt your child's college dreams. And you can deduct 100% of your contributions from the South Carolina state tax return. So what are you waiting for? Go to FutureScholar.com and see why it's the smart, easy way to save for college. FutureScholar.com.
Major Billy Downer here from the Department of Natural Resources, and DNR is excited to announce the implementation of Go Outdoors SC, a new online licensing and boat titling system that you can access right from your phone. Through this new system, customers can purchase their hunting and fishing licenses, renew their boats, apply for lottery hunt opportunities, and complete electronic harvest reporting requirements. For more information, visit Go Outdoors SC at your local app store.
Imagine a scrapbook filled with all your favorite memories of 75 years of NASCAR gone by. Now imagine that scrapbook going 190 miles per hour.
Have you ever? No, I've never!
You don't have to imagine it. You need to get to Darlington, where the drivers of today tackle the track too tough to tame, just like they did your first time. NASCAR Throwback Weekend at Darlington Raceway, May 12th through the 14th. Get your tickets today at darlingtonraceway.com.
Top of the eighth over at Founders Park. North Florida still leads South Carolina by a score of 8-5. The Ospreys with two outs in the top of the eighth, and they've got a runner at second base. 8-13-1 for North Florida. 5-9-2 for USC. The third inning, a big one for North Florida, scored five times in that inning to grab the lead. And again, they lead 8-5 in the top of the eighth. We'll get back to the phones in just a quick second, but some basketball news to pass along quickly. The Field of 68 is launching a new innovative three-year round-robin series between three of the top mid-major programs in the country. And one of them is the College of Charleston. They'll be joined by Liberty and also a Final Four darling, FAU. The three-year event will begin at Florida Atlantic this year, then head to Charleston in 2024 and be held at Liberty in 2025. Let's see. Pat Kelsey, head coach of the Cougars, says, quote, "This is an opportunity for three up-and-coming programs to come together in a creative way that will be a part of the college basketball conversation moving forward." The Cougars coming off a 31-4 campaign, Colonial Athletic champions, and also a 12 seed in the NCAA tournament. And they just had the misfortune, Smitty, of having to run into San Diego State, who you may remember made it all the way to the final game against Connecticut.
Yeah, Pat Kelsey's doing an outstanding job. I knew that he would. I was following him closely, got to interview him a few times when he was at Winthrop. I suspected things were going to go well in College of Charleston. Just his charisma, his ability to go out and recruit not just high school players, but recruit the portal, make Charleston a destination, a place to be. And then once you get them there and they see the holy city, it's hard to turn it down, and everything he's touched so far has turned to gold. The question is he going to be able to build Charleston into enough of a destination that he can stay there and have the kind of success he wants? Or when the larger school comes calling, is Charleston going to have the money to keep him? I know I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I think it's going to go well. It went so well at Winthrop, it's going so well at Charleston. He's a rising star, and I'd love to see him stay in the state.
I agree. I think he's a terrific coach and has done a fabulous job wherever he has been, both Winthrop and also, obviously, right now what's going on at the College of Charleston. Phone calls will hold to the top of the hour. Wanted to lead in. Sam's waiting, and speaking of the College of Charleston, no one knows them better than Sam, so we'll get to him top of the hour. But one other basketball note to pass along quickly, sad one. Legendary Louisville head coach Denny Crum passed away today at the age of 86. His resume includes two national championships, six Final Four appearances, a member of the College Basketball Hall of Fame, 675 career wins. And before Louisville got embroiled in what they're in right now, Smitty, Denny Crum was sort of the guy you epitomized with Louisville basketball.
Absolutely. The red sport coat, never nervous, Purvis Ellison. Mm-hmm. He was a fixture, and he built Louisville into a superpower, at that time outside the Power Five. So impressive, and he'll be missed.
Welcome back to Sports Talk on the Sports Talk Media Network. You can reach the guys with the South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number, 888-898-2525. That's 888-898-2525. Now back to Phil, Chris, and Pat with the second hour of Sports Talk on the Sports Talk Media Network.
And back we are, Sports Talk on a busy Tuesday night. Chris Bergen here in the PD. Pat Daniel back in our flagship station at the Point in Columbia. And Smitty hanging out with us for another night of broadcast excellence here on Sports Talk with Phil Kornblut on vacation for the week. By the way, tomorrow night, Smitty and I will both be broadcasting live from Coastal Carolina for a huge baseball matchup between the Chanticleers and the Clemson Tigers. Looking forward to being down there in Conway for that game. Should be a dandy. Meantime, South Carolina trying to avoid what would be a very bad loss for USC despite the injuries the Gamecocks are suffering with right now. They trail bottom of the eighth inning to North Florida by a score of 8-5. Though the Gamecocks with two outs have runners at first and second, they have threatened a good bit throughout this ballgame and have just not been able to come through with the clutch hit. They've stranded 12 thus far. And Smitty, North Florida is a team that's right around 500 in their conference. Their RPI is sitting above 200. This would be the first, I think Pat was telling us, the first quad four loss of the season if USC is unable to rally. And as bad as the weekend was at Kentucky, this certainly won't make things feel better going to Arkansas this weekend if they don't turn it around here in the last couple of outs.
No, and Arkansas is terrific as well. This is going to be a tough one to swallow. And one issue that, the Tampa Bay Rays have tried this before as well, where you make it a bullpen game, right? You throw six or seven or eight guys. You just try to get through it. And look, Eskew for South Carolina was the second pitcher in. He gave up five earned. That's the ball game right there. So one of the real dangers, you think, if we throw six or seven guys, they're all going to be fresh. They'll be at their best. But baseball doesn't work that way. Some days you just don't have it. And just like this, the plan just blows up in your face. If one of your pitchers doesn't have it and the other team puts up a crooked number, you're behind the eight ball. And in this case, they gave up eight runs, no pun intended. So it's a real issue when you try to go with a bullpen day. The one thing you've got to watch out for is now you're relying not just on one, two, three, four pitchers. You're going to rely on six, seven, or eight. And if they don't all have it and they're not all on their game, you have a chance of this happening and falling behind in the second inning the way the Gamecocks did today.
It's a terrific point, and encouraging news, though, even with the score where it is, and the Gamecocks now have the bases loaded with two outs in the bottom of the eighth. But Tal Lecroy did return to the lineup today. He's been playing at second base, and here's more encouraging news. Will McGillis has come in the eighth inning to pinch run for Carson Horning. So they've got a chance to start getting some of these guys back that clearly they need. But again, 8-5, bottom of the eighth inning, and Denny at bat with two outs. This is a big at bat here for South Carolina. We'll keep you posted. All right, 888-898-2525. Also want to congratulate Charles and Sumter. He scored himself a pair of tickets to Sunday's Goodyear 400, answered a trivia question based around racing at Darlington Raceway, and probably the guy who's as synonymous with that racetrack as any driver, and that being David Pearson. So he's got himself a pair of tickets. Heard from Kyle Larson in hour number one. We'll check in with Kerry Tharp, president of Darlington Raceway, coming up at the bottom of the hour. But let's head back to the phones as we kick off the second hour of the program on the South Carolina Education Lottery, and welcome in our good friend down in the Holy City in Charleston. We say hello to Sam. You're up next here on Sports Talk. Good evening, Sam. How are you?
Well, I am so happy to say about my boy. I am so happy.
Talking about Pat Kelsey?
Okay, so tell me what happened again.
They're going to be a part of a new tournament, for lack of a better term. It's a three-team event between Liberty and also Florida Atlantic. and it's going to try and showcase mid-major basketball and perhaps help teams like, say, a Florida Atlantic, who was able to guide their tournament bid into a run to the Final Four, maybe continue to improve mid-majors' chances to add teams to the postseason. I think it's a great idea, and it's going to start at Florida Atlantic, and then it's going to go to the college in 2024, and then at Liberty in 2025, with those three teams sort of playing a round robin with one another.
Well, I think you have a great point about these three teams we have. I think we do. So I'm going to give you a little background on how we did this year compared to last year's. Last year, we did okay, but there's some miscues we need to work on. I know Pat Kelsey's listening to this right now, but I really thoroughly enjoyed helping this team stronger every single flipping day. I am really proud how we did, and we came out short. I try to be a good sport about it. We end up being a good note. And we're losing four seniors in our team this year. But I'm ready for a trivia question, and I'm ready for you.
Okay. You want us to ask another Darlington trivia question for you?
How about golf?
How about golf? Well, why don't you throw a trivia question at us if you've got one, and we'll let Smitty tackle the golf question since Corn's not here.
Hey, Smitty, how you doing, buddy?
Well, hey, Sam. Now, you don't have a golf question ready for us?
Yes, I have a golf question for you. So I got
okay, go ahead. Lay it on us.
Well, it's going to be a hard one. It's going to be a hard one for you, though. Get ready. So I looked up on the internet a couple of years ago, and I saw there are three names from a couple of years ago. Sam Snead, Tiger Woods, Jack Nicholson. They won three games in a row a couple of years ago. And here's a trivia question they ask you about this week. What do you think I can sign my $5.5 million with Pat Kelsey for five more years? What do you think about that?
Sam, I don't think you know how trivia works.
Okay, I'm sorry. So, who won the...
We'll come up with a golf question for you tomorrow. How about that? We'll come up with a golf question for you. We'll have Phil do it remotely and then email it to us for tomorrow's show.
Well, actually, I just heard a comment about my boy Pat Kelsey, if he is listening to this, that I can see him to be 5-year extension. I can see that happening because if you look back during his coaching at Winthrop Eagles, he did so much for that team. But this team is doing really well. We get stronger every time. I am so proud of him, what he did in his coaching staff. Well, actually, you are talking to a team manager right now. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah. You're as plugged into the CFC as anybody.
Well, actually, you commented on this week about a few things. So I know this year's going to be a bit different than last year's. When does the CFC block party look like next year, do you think? I love parties. You guys want to come? I got some drinks.
Well, hey, I've never been one to turn down a good party. I know Pat would enjoy a good party down there.
I would, and they have not yet announced the block party for this fall. Going by the dates on the articles when they released it the last couple years, that should be coming in the next few months, sometime once we're into the summer just a bit. But, hey, I'm right there. You're right, Chris. I will not turn down a party. Would love to come down there and party with you, Sam, and finally get to put a face to the name. I think that'd be a great time. So make sure you stay in touch with us about that.
Appreciate you, Sam.
Sorry.
I was saying we appreciate the phone call. We got to move on, buddy, but thanks for the phone call.
And one more thing. This
yes,
is
sir.
Our city.
Our city, no doubt. That is Sam down in Charleston. Nobody prouder of the Cougars than Sam in Charleston, who always gives us the latest ins and outs. And, you know, Smitty, he was talking about the contract extension for Pat Kelsey, and considering what he was able to accomplish, he got a 5-year contract deal, the extension right before the end of the regular season with the college. And, of course, what Furman is doing with their coach up there. I mean, right now you're talking about two strong mid-major programs who are making huge, huge investments in what they're doing with the job they're taking care of their coaches.
Absolutely, and I'm really happy. Look, we've seen Wofford have tremendous success as a mid-major in our state. As you mentioned, Bob Ritchie and Furman doing what they did last season. Pat Kelsey and College of Charleston. Now, I mean, Charleston has its pedigree. They've been there before. You know, tremendous success under John Kress and you know, a little lesser so under Bobby Crimmins, but still a really good program. And Pat Kelsey has just amplified it and taken it to another level here with the recruiting. So I love what the mid majors have done. Basketball in our state, now South Carolina, you know, with Lamont Paris in a rebuild. But everywhere else in the state you look, you know, even Brad Brown, I almost don't want to pick this scab, right? But I thought that was a really big season last year for Clemson. Even though Brownell and the Tigers didn't get selected for the NCAA tournament, we debated it on this show. I thought they were a tournament team. I thought they should have gone over NC State. So I'm still crediting Brad Brownell with a big year.
No doubt. And, you know, we still don't, I think, quite know the contract extension details for Bob Ritchie's deal. But nonetheless, Furman has made a major investment in men's basketball up there. And understandably, you go to the second round of the tournament, you want to make sure you keep a guy like Coach Ritchie or Coach Kelsey down at Charleston. You want to keep them where they are. Because these guys, every year when they have a good year, that's the positive and negative to bringing in an outstanding coach at places like Furman and at the college. They can have tremendous years, but it's not like nobody else notices, and they become hot commodities. And props to both of those athletic departments for realizing what they have in Bob Ritchie at Furman and Pat Kelsey down at the College of Charleston. All right, 888-898-2525. If you'd like to hop on board, we've got a line or two open for you. Again, 888-898-2525 is the South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number. Let's hit on a couple of other news notes of the day. Then we've got recruiting still to come and our visit with Kerry Tharp to sort of whet the appetite for this weekend over at Darlington. All right, quickly, let's go to the NCAA Women's Golf Championships taking place, the regionals over in Athens, Georgia. The second round has concluded. South Carolina, a big day today. They were 6-under par today, as was Georgia, which is the bad news. South Carolina has moved into second place in the regional, but they're 10 shots back of Georgia on the women's side. Georgia at minus 15 after a 6-under par 282 today. Gamecocks at minus 5 after a 6-under par 282 as well. Meantime, Furman, they shot a 301. That's 13 over today. They're at plus 22. And the College of Charleston, a 293 today, a little bit better, plus 5. They are total at plus 26. Furman a tie for 8th right now. The College of Charleston in 11th place. Meantime, out in Pullman, Washington, and Smitty, the scores out there are just ridiculous. I'm not sure if they're playing on a par 3 golf course, miniature golf course, or what the case is, but Stanford threw 2 rounds. They fired a 267 yesterday. They fired a 274 team total today. That's 14-under par today. They are 35-under for the tournament through 2 rounds in Pullman, Washington.
That's incredible. I don't know this, but is the air thin there? Because, you know, when, you know, the PGA Tour goes off and plays an event near Vegas or something, or somewhere with elevation, they you know, they can overwhelm the course. I don't know what it plays like in Pullman, Washington, but they're getting after it.
I mean, it's unbelievable. 35-under par. The next closest team, you would think, if you're Texas Tech, or heck, even Clemson. Clemson's sitting in third place. They're 15-under par. Had you told their team they'd be 15-under par after 2 rounds, their question probably back to you would be, all right, how many shots do we have in the league going into the third round? Instead, they're 20 shots off the pace. Texas Tech, 18 shots off the pace. I mean, just ridiculous scoring out there. And then on the flip side, you have Kentucky at plus one after two rounds, North Carolina plus 13, and Green Bay in 12th place at a plus 35. And that is the Women's Golf Regionals. We will get a check of the recruiting report brought to you by Seawells coming up in just a couple of seconds. But let's head back to the phones and check in with you on the South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number and head up to, is this right? Springfield, Pennsylvania, Pat?
That is correct.
Very cool. We check in on the Northeast and say hello to Michael. Michael, you're up next on Sports Talk. How you doing?
There's no way this just happened, right? When you started introducing him, he hung up. Michael, if you're still listening, call us back. We'd love to hear what's happening up in the Quaker territory, up in Pennsylvania. Please give us a shout.
Absolutely. So while we try and get Michael back, let's go ahead and go to a break. We'll come back, bring you the recruiting report. We'll update things out at Founders Park as they're in the top of the ninth inning. Gamecocks still trailing North Florida 8-5. Kerry Tharp around the bend as well. We'll talk some NASCAR racing with KT just after the bottom of the hour. So a lot still to come, plus your phone calls again, including hopefully Michael in Pennsylvania at 888-898-2525. And don't forget, if you lose us over the airwaves, you can always watch our video stream at YouTube, Facebook Live. You can also listen live to the program up on our Twitter page, Sports Talk FC, and, of course, online at sportstalkfc.com. We prefer, however, that you listen in to one of our fine affiliates all across the state of South Carolina.
Show your team pride wherever you go with Founders Federal Credit Union's collegiate debit cards. Get your University of South Carolina and Clemson University debit cards at any Founders office or by calling 1-800-845-1614. Plus, our debit cards are digital wallet ready, so you can pay however you please. Not a member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com or one of our 37 convenient locations to see if you qualify for membership. Terms and conditions apply. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Life, it has its ups and downs. Sometimes it's little things like hitting every red light or dropping your cell phone. Maybe it's the bills, rent, or pressure at work. But when it comes to the South Carolina Education Lottery, you should never feel like playing will solve everything. The lottery is a game. It's played for fun. So set a dollar amount. Expect not to win and make sure responsibilities, family, friends, and work come first. Visit PlayResponsiblySC.com.
Parents ask, what's the best way to save for college? I'm State Treasurer Curtis Loftus, and my answer is always open a Future Scholar 529 College Savings Account. It's easy. You can get started online with any amount. It's flexible to adapt your child's college dreams. And you can deduct 100% of your contributions from the South Carolina state tax return. So what are you waiting for? Go to FutureScholar.com and see why it's the smart, easy way to save for college. FutureScholar.com.
We're going to party like it's your birthday. We're going to sip Bacardi like it's your birthday. Me in the club, bottle full of bub. Look, mommy, I got the eggs. Get in and take the drugs. We're going to party like it's your birthday. We're going to sip Bacardi like it's your birthday. Me in the club.
All right, as if matters weren't bad enough for the Gamecocks, trailing North Florida 8-5 in the top of the ninth inning with two outs, runners at first and second for the Ospreys, and a 1-1 count on the batter. They have gone into a lightning delay in Columbia. Pat, has the weather in the Midlands turned sour here in the last 5-10 minutes?
It's not great, and it does not, unfortunately, look like it's going to be clearing anytime soon. Simply looking at the sky with my own eyeballs, as well as looking at the weather forecast and the radar. So I am curious how long they will wait here, because this is certainly a game of importance, and I don't think the Gamecocks want to freely give up their last three opportunities here in the bottom of the ninth.
And Smitty, due up for South Carolina in the bottom of the ninth inning, trailing three runs, four runs, or whatever it may be. They would have Evan Stone, the number nine hitter, who has already homered in this ballgame, and then Dylan Brewer, Gavin Casas, and the meat of their order. If they're able to get out of the top of the ninth, you would think with the three-run deficit, they were certainly in the game. So they would not want to, if you're Mark Kingston and those guys, you definitely want to finish this thing now. And if you're North Florida, I think you're probably doing everything you can to hope it rains until the middle of the night, because I think they are planning to drive back home after the game back to Jacksonville, which is, what, from Columbia, maybe a six-hour ride, five-hour ride, somewhere along those lines?
Yeah, this is it's getting dicey. Now, South Carolina, but even, Chris, with the meat of their lineup coming up, can they come up with a big hit? They've left 15 runners on base today. I mean, you're closing in on some sort of record. You can't leave 15 runners on base. And obviously, the pitching wasn't there today, giving up 8 runs. And there's nothing wrong with going out and scoring 5 runs as an offense, but this is a club that has just had runners on base. North Florida's been pitching out of the stretch the whole game, and they've just managed to come up with the out they needed time and again. Just tough. South Carolina's just in a real rut here. The last, I guess, 2+ weeks now.
There's no doubt, and just hard to believe where things are right now with this baseball team. Starting, you hope, if you're a Carolina fan and what you've seen, and quite frankly, Smitty, just as fans here in our state, seeing what this team was for 2 months, I mean, they were as good as anybody in the country, and then all of a sudden they have the injury bug sort of bite them in the backside here the past couple of weeks. It's been painful to watch, and you just hope their season doesn't get derailed because they have had so many injuries here the past few weeks.
Yeah, that's it. They've got to just hold it together. You got to hang in there and hopefully start to get everybody back. You know, as you mentioned, Talmadge LaCroix came back, played some second base. I think you said Will McGillis came in and pinch ran earlier.
That is correct.
That's a good sign. You know, Braylon Wimmer supposedly is on the mend and should be back shortly. So once the team feels a little more whole and there's more familiar faces behind those pitchers, you hope it just brings some confidence to them. Because right now the pitching hasn't held up. It's funny, South Carolina, you know, offensively was so good through what, 75% of this season, maybe more, one of the best offensive teams in the country. And then just to have some of their recent issues not coming up with big hits when they need it, it's just been one, if it's not one thing, it's another for this team the last 2 or 3 weeks. And you just hope, Jim Thoman was on with us last night. He had confidence. He felt like if South Carolina just gets some of the players to return, the whole dugout will feel a lift, you know, that the whole team will kind of take a deep breath and realize there's so much ahead of them. And they put a lot of hay in the barn early. It's just, it happens in baseball. It's just a bad 3-week stretch.
No doubt. All right, so we'll keep you posted. They may not finish before we're done. Game that started at 4 o'clock may not get finished and complete until after 8. So we'll keep you posted on the latest over there. Again, 8-5, North Florida in front, top of the ninth inning as they have gone into a weather delay with lightning in the area. All right, time now to get a quick check of the recruiting report brought to you by our good friends over at Seawells, the best in the catering department at Seawells, CateringSC.com. Again, SeawellsCateringSC.com. And of course, the daily luncheon buffet, the best value for your dollar. Great food, great service, everything you could possibly want. Again, they are closed until Thursday, correct, Pat?
That is right. They will be closed one more day tomorrow, but then reopening for both Thursday and Friday. Thursday will have rosemary pork tenderloin along with southern fried chicken and fried flounder. Friday will be a roast beef Friday to cap off the week along with southern fried chicken and pulled pork.
I look forward to it. Make sure you get over to Seawells on Rosewood Drive when they reopen for their daily luncheon buffet on a Thursday. In recruiting tonight, Georgia Military Junior College quarterback Emmanuel Brown says he's accepted a PWO offer from USC and will be joining the Gamecocks once he's finished up his academic work at GMC and is accepted by the USC admissions office. Brown is a Columbia native who prepped at Brooklyn Casey. He redshirted back in 2021. Last season, he totaled 18 tackles, one interception, one pass breakup in 10 games. He visited South Carolina on January 21st and met with secondary coach Torian Gray at the time. Also had offers from Fayetteville State, Albany State, and Allen University. USC has offered 2025 wide receiver linebacker Matthew Uten of Portsmouth, Virginia. Tulsa transfer offensive tackle Jaden Muskrat, who was offered by USC, is heading to Auburn. USC target tight end Willie Rodriguez visited Purdue on Sunday. He plans to visit USC sometime this upcoming summer. And Houston transfer offensive tackle Cameron Johnson has committed to Missouri. The father of safety KJ Bolden of Buford, Georgia, put out a tweet yesterday evening showing Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, and Auburn as five schools for his son. KJ later tweeted that was not a top five, and he's still open to other schools. He has an official visit set with the Tigers for June 2nd, Georgia June 9th, and Ohio State on June 16th. Wide receiver TJ Moore has set his official visit with Clemson for June the 2nd. Clemson commitment place kicker Nolan Hauser will take his official visit with the Tigers also on June 2nd. Clemson target defensive end Malik Blockton was offered by West Virginia and also Southern Cal. Cornerback Aaron Childs, who has Clemson in his top 10, named a top three, though, of Michigan, Florida, and Maryland. And Coastal Carolina is in the top five with linebacker Trent Carter of Jacksonville. The others are Pittsburgh, Middle Tennessee, Louisville, and also Appalachian State. T.L. Hanna product and former Alabama and Nebraska defensive tackle Stephen Wynn visited Ole Miss last weekend. And 2025 quarterback Will Wilson of Richland Northeast has been offered by South Carolina State. That's recruiting. NASCAR Talk with KT is up next here on Sports Talk. They'll all be driving into Darlington County the next couple of days. It is race week in South Carolina as we get ready for a throwback weekend over at the track Too Tough to Tame, starting Friday with the Truck Series, Xfinity Series racing on Saturday, and they'll honor the 75 greatest drivers in NASCAR history Sunday as they run the Goodyear 400 at the Lady in Black. Here on Sports Talk, quick update again in case you're just dialing us up. North Florida leading South Carolina 8-5, top of the ninth inning, but they have gone into a weather delay in Columbia. Weather is oftentimes a problem for NASCAR. We're hoping for beautiful weather this weekend as we welcome aboard the president of Darlington Raceway. We say hello to Kerry Tharp on race week. Kerry, it's here. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Chris. It is race week. In fact, I'm driving through downtown Darlington right now. There's checkered flags up, welcome race fan signs up, and it's beginning to look a lot like race week, that's for sure.
I was over in Hartsville earlier today, KT, and I was mentioning on the program, Hartsville has also put out checkered flags all around town. It's going to make you feel good as the president at Darlington Raceway to get not just national support for this series and certainly the racetrack, but the local communities that get all excited about race weekend, whether it's in May or in September.
You're exactly right, Chris. And, you know, the surrounding communities in this area, what they like to call the PD region, are fantastic, and they've been there with us since 1950. And whether it be in Darlington County, Florence County, Sumter County, Chesterfield County, Marlboro County, and Horry County, I could go on, but the folks around this community are extremely supportive. They've been there since the beginning, and you know, now that we have our second race date back, it's been really, really encouraging to see them come out and kind of turn their community into a race community for about a period, and we really, really appreciate that.
Well, before we get into all the festivities going on this weekend, quick synopsis of what you saw last week in Kansas, considering the way it finished with Kyle Larson being nudged out of the way by Denny Hamlin to get the win at Kansas, the fight afterwards between Noah Gragson and also Ross Chastain. I mean, I'm not sure there's better momentum going into your race weekend than what Kansas provided you last weekend.
Well, I certainly owe my friend Pat Warren, who's the president out there at Kansas, you know, I might owe him a steak dinner because he kind of delivered up on a platter for us. What a great race at Kansas. I think they had a record for most lead changes. Great finish there where Denny Hamlin just kind of moved Kyle Larson out of the way. And then, you know, out on pit road, little extracurricular activities between Noah Gragson and Ross Chastain. And so, yeah, it's we're going to call it throwdown at the throwback when those two guys come here to Darlington this weekend. But, yeah, I mean, you know, that's been a part of NASCAR since the very beginning. High emotions, intense rivalries, competition. We saw all of that, Sunday in Kansas, and I think we'll see more of the same this weekend in Darlington.
Gary Tharte with us from Darlington Raceway, getting ready for the official throwback weekend of NASCAR coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the track Too Tough to Tame. And KT, I was over in Columbia about a month or so ago when you guys had your introduction of some of your new sponsors in your event at the Governor's Mansion, and Ross Chastain was there. He seemed like a fairly mild-mannered person. When did he turn into the villain number one in NASCAR? How quickly has his personality changed?
Well, you know, I think Ross, when he gets on the racetrack, you know, he's a competitor. He's aggressive, and, you know, he wants to win. And let's look at it this way. He's only been at the Cup Series level for about 2, maybe 3 years, and so I still think he's trying to find his way a little bit. But, you know, he's a hard-charging racer, and he may be a heck of a nice guy off the racetrack, which I think he is. But I think on the racetrack, he's a competitor. And what I find interesting, Chris, is that almost after every race this season and even last, you know, people are talking about Ross Chastain one reason or the next. And, you know, I think that that's good for the sport. I still think that he's really becoming a guy in the sport that people are talking about, even on Monday, Tuesday after the race, and I think that's a good thing.
Kerry, did you see Kyle Petty come out in defense of Ross Chastain's style, comparing him to his father and Dale Earnhardt and Ernie Irvin and others, saying this aggressive style has long been a part of NASCAR, and it's always not welcomed when the driver is young and then respected as they age?
Well, Smitty, I think you bring up a great point. And, I mean, you know, if you go back and look at some of the replays when Dale Earnhardt or even Richard Petty, and as you mentioned, Ernie Irvin and others, Darrell Waltrip, Rusty Wallace, I mean, they were aggressive. They got into dust-ups on the racetrack with other competitors. And so I think what Ross Chastain is doing is not unlike anything that we've seen over the 75 years that we've been around NASCAR. And so I just think that, you know, he's kind of still a young driver, still in some ways kind of an unproven driver. Because let's face it, about 3 or 4 years ago, he was kind of a journeyman, bouncing back and forth between the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series. And then he got a great break there with Trackhouse Racing. And so now he's really, I think, making the most of it. But, yeah, I think his driving style is comparable to some of the guys that you mentioned. And you know, most of those guys are in the Hall of Fame.
That's true. Kerry, you know, a couple weeks back you shared a great story with us about Cale Yarborough and getting to speak with him and the way he still gets butterflies when he drives by the Lady in Black. David Pearson was the answer to our trivia question earlier tonight. Another South Carolina native. He won 7 times at Darlington. I just wonder, we went 10 times overall, I guess. So,
right.
I wonder, did you ever get to speak to him about Darlington before he passed away in 2018? I'd love to know how he felt about the track there.
Well, I did meet David a couple of times. It was actually before I came to Darlington as track president in 2016. I did meet him a couple of times when I was working for NASCAR and just had a lot of respect for him. I never really spoke to him specifically about Darlington, but I've known and talked to a lot of people around here in this community, around this racetrack, that say, to tell me flat out that David Pearson was the man. and that around Darlington, he was a guy that was highly revered, highly regarded. And when he came into town and when he came to the racetrack, you know, people noticed. And so I do think that his record of 10 wins at Darlington is going to be hard to beat over the course of time. And but, you know, when you think about Darlington Raceway, there's two guys there's three guys that you think about. It's David Pearson, Dale Earnhardt, and Cale Yarborough. And that's a pretty good threesome right there.
Yep, that sounds about like, about three-fifths of the first class of the NASCAR Hall of Fame right there.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, there's no doubt about Kerry, it. There's no doubt about it.
Kerry, one more quick one here. You know, you just mentioned at the start of this what this race means to the communities. I was wondering it's something we don't get to talk about with you often because it's just accepted. This is where the throwback weekend is. But when you look at NASCAR as a whole, to have Darlington chosen for that, what does that mean? Are there any special challenges to it? How does that make you feel? It's almost as if it's a way to tie what you're doing and succeeding at today in Darlington with the past and its rich history and make sure we remember it.
Well, you know, Smitty, the throwback weekend in my mind is one of the great weekends in the sport. This is our ninth year coming up. I think a lot of people thought maybe it was going to be a one-hit wonder when it first started. And I will say that when the pandemic hit and you know, we weren't able to have a full capacity and do all of our full activation, it probably got set back a little bit. But I think this year is going to be the shot in the arm that it needs to continue to be relevant. I don't think there's any other place in the sport or on the schedule that is better suited to have a reunion like this than Darlington. And, you know, we're going to have on this weekend, I think 33 of the living 44 greatest drivers. You know, the 75 greatest, I think I think there's 44 that are still with us, okay? And some of those are still current drivers, right? But we're going to have, of that group still living, we're going to have 33 of 44, and that's a pretty good turnout because there are some whose health does not permit them, unfortunately, to travel to the event. And there are some others, a few others that just couldn't make it, but you know, what an assemblage of talent. I dare say that this isn't going to happen again in my lifetime where you're going to have this many legends, this many heroes, this many personalities all gathered together at one time at the same place.
A few more minutes with Kerry Tharp, president of Darlington Raceway. And KT, just from the standpoint, I haven't seen any updated news. Maybe you know you were talking about some of the drivers whose health has not been the best. We've heard reports that Cale Yarborough is not doing all that well. Do you have an update on him, and perhaps will he be able to attend this weekend?
No, I really don't have an update on him, Chris. I do plan on maybe trying to call him here in the next day or so, at least try to speak to his family. I did speak to his wife here, about 3 weeks ago and told her how much we were pulling for Cale and thinking of him and, you know, how much we were going to miss him at this event. And she certainly understood that and was going to relay that information and those kind words to him. And, you know, it's my hope that I can get out there and visit with him at his place here sometime in the near future and just tell him how much he means to our sport, how much he means to Darlington. And, you know, he's one of those guys that comes around every generation. You know, he's right down the road from this racetrack. And, you know, heroes like that, you want to forever remember. And we're going to do the best we can with him, although we certainly will miss him here this weekend.
Very well said. Well, I know this is like trying to pick your favorite child, but of all the things that are going on this weekend, because you guys are going to be extremely busy with the racing sort of almost taking a back seat, which is hard to believe as good as the racing normally is at Darlington, but of the things not necessarily directly from green flag to checkered flag, what are you most looking forward to Friday, Saturday, or Sunday?
Oh, goodness. A couple things. We're going to have a throwback parade on Saturday after the Xfinity race. Around 5 o'clock, go through downtown Darlington. We got Lamar High School. Silver Fox Band is going to lead that that parade. We've got three floats of beauty queens. We'll have our grand marshal, Ricky Craven, Kurt Busch. We'll have about seven or eight of the 75 greatest drivers in the back of F-150 trucks. Corey LaJoie and Harrison Burton will also be in the parade. We'll have the Shriners on a float. We'll have Dave Marcus on a Goodyear Earth Roamer. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I can't wait to see it. And we'll have the Shriners in their little cars. I'm looking forward to that. It's an old school throwback parade through downtown Darlington, and I don't think it gets any better than that.
Well, you have to get beauty queens.
And we've got about seven or eight beauty queens. We got Miss Darlington. We got Miss Society Hill. We got Miss Florence. I think we have Miss Dovesville. You know, any community within a 30-mile radius here has a beauty queen. They're going to be in that parade on Saturday night.
Miss Sardis, is Miss Sardis participating?
I'm not sure, but if she's not, if she's out there, have her give us a call and we'll put her on a float.
Ricky Craven, Kurt Busch, any chance we can get them back in the car and help them recreate what was the greatest finish in NASCAR history?
Well, I tell you what, those two guys wouldn't mind doing it. They've become very good friends since that moment. And, you know, what's going to be cool is have them up in the starter stand, Chris. Both of them waving the green flag. It's 20 years anniversary since that epic moment. And as I told you, I think I told you this before, I told Ricky he's going to be able to wave the green flag 2/1,000th of a second ahead of Kurt Busch. And, you know, that's going to be cool to have that. Because, you know, when you think of Darlington, Chris and Smitty, that's one of the, you know, two or three things that you think about is that exciting finish.
Before I let you go, what's in terms of ticket sales? We may have given away the last pair available earlier on the program, but how are ticket sales going? And Okay. Do folks still have time to maybe get a pair of tickets for Sunday or Saturday or even the truck race on Friday, which I encourage fans to go watch because the trucks always put on a great show.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, we've got three races this weekend, and let's always remember, too, that racing on Friday night with the truck, Saturday afternoon with Xfinity, kids 12 and under is free with a paying adult. You can't beat that. Mm-hmm. And then we do have tickets available for all three. Go to darlingtonraceway.com. We're going to have a good crowd. Our numbers have been trending very well the last 3 weeks. And knock on wood, the weather forecast sounds pretty favorable. And so we're going to give it a whirl and look forward to an exciting weekend here at Darlington.
KT, as always, we appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing you out at the track this weekend, my friend.
Take care. Appreciate it, guys.
Yes, sir. That is Kerry Tharp, president of Darlington Raceway, dropping by for his Tuesday visit. If you missed it, we've actually got a spot on our website that we'll keep up all week long. We're going to add NASCAR interviews as we move through. Kyle Larson's up there, Eric Amarola, who we've chatted with. Actually, I'm going to have a chance tomorrow, Smitty, to catch up with Corey LaJoie, and I can't wait to ask him about the little feature they did with Grayson McCall, the quarterback at Coastal, who, of course, has a name, image, and likeness deal with Darlington, has become somewhat of a spokesman for the track Too Tough to Tame. And Corey got a chance to ride Grayson around the track in a pace car. And I'm fascinated to hear the backstory of how that came together.
Yeah, I bet they had a good time. You know, the stat or note I took away from Kerry there was 33 of the living 44 greatest drivers will be in Darlington, South Carolina this weekend. That is incredible. That is like Cooperstown come to you, right? So certainly yes. Get your tickets, be in Darlington because he's right. That won't happen again in our lifetimes because unfortunately some of those guys are getting up in age, but the names and certainly the faces you'll see, that is incredible. I'm really proud that that's happening in our state. I take great pride in that.
I do as well. There are a lot of cool things that happen in South Carolina. Of course, most of it centers around college athletics because we don't have pro teams in terms of the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA. But the pro events that we have are so well done. The two race weekends at Darlington, the Heritage down in Harbortown, the tennis tournament down in Charleston. I mean, the things that we do are so well done. You know, you've got to take a lot of pride in what our tiny state is able to accomplish in terms of sports tourism and the sports world, because the focus of the racing world is going to be on little bitty Darlington, South Carolina this weekend. It's almost hard to imagine.
I think it's incredible. And I think the real mistake NASCAR made was, who was it? It was Noah Gragson and Ross Chastain that got into it.
Correct.
How did they not save that? If you're going to do an impression of Cale Yarborough and Donnie Allison, you got to save it for Darlington. They should have scheduled the fight for the infield this Sunday.
I'm sure there may actually happen, sort of by mistake or organic. It may actually happen. All right, a big thank you to Cale Yarborough. Yeah, certainly wish we could chat with him, but certainly thanks to Kerry Tharp. And again, check out our website, all the cool interviews we're doing this week up online at sportstalkfc.com. Final time out of this Tuesday. We will come back. A couple of more headlines. We'll see if the Gamecocks in North Florida can resume, and we'll wrap things up after this here on Sports Talk.
George Bryant here with Tsunami Bar Sports, and wow, Tsunami Robbie, there is now an amazing technology that you can use when you train receiving large game without having to endure pain. Please explain.
George, that is the magic combination. I have three simple words to define that entire concept. Stimulation, not annihilation. Regardless of your training goals, there is a level of stimulation that is optimal for your desired gains. Tsunami Bar's flexible bar technology meets these demands because the user determines the level of stimulation with the amount of speed and force they impart into the bar or training device.
Hey, this is Phil Kornblut. The Tsunami Bar is a terrific training device whether you're working on your fitness or your golf game. It's convenient, it's easy to use, and you won't feel beat up afterwards. Be sure to click on the digital ad on sportstalksc.com and get 5% off any order using promo code BBB5. Don't wait. Order today.
Hi, folks. This is Mike Morgan. I want to tell you about an exciting new product from my friends at Vision Air Solutions. Staying healthy in my line of work is so critical, and probably in yours as well. A large factor in all that is making sure we're breathing in healthy and safe air every day. That's where Vision Air Solutions comes in. They make sure your home has air purification for all the air pollution you can't see. Viruses, mold, bacteria, stale odors, cooking smells, and volatile organic compounds. They make sure your home is full of clean air and also offer HVAC duct cleaning and sanitation as well. Make sure you and your family are breathing clean air today by giving Vision Air Solutions a call today. 803-220-1811. That's 803-220-1811. Tell them Mike sent you.
You like this music, don't you, Pat? A monster truck inside the Sports Talk bumper rotation.
I really do. It's just catchy. I can't get enough of it.
I don't blame you. It's good stuff. All right, final couple of moments we have with you on this Tuesday. Again, they are in a weather delay at Founders Park, top of the ninth inning. North Florida still leads South Carolina 8-5. Runners at first and second with two outs and a 1-1 count on the batter. 8-14-1 for North Florida, 5-10-2 for USC. Gamecocks, as Smitty mentioned a few minutes ago, have stranded 15 in the ball game. North Florida, to their credit or discredit, they've left 11 on the bases. This could be a much, much wilder ball game if these two teams had been able to get a few more clutch hits. But again, 8-5 in a weather delay in Columbia. Meantime, some other news notes that we haven't gotten to today. We'll close out the program. Atlanta Braves ace Max Fried has a left forearm strain. And according to the Braves, Actually, it was placed on the 15-day IL, backdated to May 6th. Any forearm strain is a concern because such injuries can be precursors to Tommy John surgery. Freed certainly knows about that. Actually had that surgery back in 2014. And Smitty, anytime you hear a pitcher, college or professional pitcher, dealing with forearm issues or bicep issues or any arm issues, you immediately think the worst, don't you? It's like watching a football player go down and grab at his knee. First thing that comes to mind, oh. ACL tear. Here, you almost immediately think Tommy John surgery.
That's right. You never want to see your favorite wide receiver laying on the ground taking his helmet off, and you never want to see your favorite pitcher stop in the middle of a start and call for the trainer to come over. And with Max Fried, I mean, I know the Braves are going to handle it this way. Obviously, they're going to handle this with kid gloves because barring some unforeseen circumstance in the Mets or somebody else gets their act together, the Braves are going to the playoffs. What you want is Max Fried ready to go, you know, for the first date of of the playoffs, because this is a Braves club that whose sights are not set on how you play in June. It's how you play in October.
All right, big thank you to Charles and Sumter winning a pair of tickets to Darlington Raceway this weekend. So congratulations to him. Also thanks to Kyle Larson and, of course, Kerry Tharp. You folks for visiting with us tonight. Thanks to Smitty and Pats. And we'll see you tomorrow from Coastal Carolina for the Chanticleers and Tigers. Should be fun.